It's your daily sports dump. And I'm your host, Joe Canelli. Yes, that's right, folks. It's me, your host, Joe Canelli. It's your daily sports dump. It's today, Wednesday, May 27th, 2020. And we got a great episode for you again today. And you know what that means? It means there's someone other than me talking. Today, it's Dan Bacadall, and we're going to get into a little bit of his opinions on The Last Dance as another man living in Chicago during that time. He got to watch some games in the Indiana series, that final series before the final series. Dan was at some of those games. We also talk a little bit about John Kitna Jr. and being angry and the value of information. Please enjoy Dan Bacadall, stage of star and screen, talking sports. Now, I got to stop because I heard myself say, stage of star and screen. What I meant is star of stage and screen, Dan Bacadall. You've seen him on Veep and many other shows, Life in Pieces. Oh, so many shows. Here he is, Dan Bacadall.
Right, we don't want to get run off the road.
No, we don't want to get run off the road. And luckily, no one knows what that means, Dan, but I'm going to keep that in there because this is my good friend Dan Bacadall, who doesn't want to get run off the road, and really nobody does. But we're not here. We're not here.
I'm on the road right now, Joe.
You are on the road?
No one's on the road right now.
I certainly hope not. They shouldn't be. And but what they are doing is staying at home and watching not even sports, but things about sports. Like this podcast. There are no sports, and yet I'm still doing a podcast seemingly about sports. Luckily, you're here to help. And we're going to talk a little bit about, because again, as many of the guests I have on, we all lived in Chicago during certainly the second three-peat. And you were you were there for that as well, correct? But you may not have been over running in the same circle as me at that point. You were a legitimate actor then, as you are now, before your years in between.
I was there for the two Utah runs.
In Chicago.
The two Utah series. I was in Chicago, and I was at I.O. for the two Utah series.
You were? Okay.
But you, for the first Utah series, I believe, weren't you in Amsterdam?
No. I went to Amsterdam in 99. But I was...
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yes. I was around a decent amount then, but we may have been in separate clouds.
Yeah, bro, we were in the same cloud, bro. That's the beauty of the cloud. You just don't remember who's there.
When I look on my podcast that's recording, my laugh has a very specific, like, signature on the thing. And when I see it, I get annoyed because I know it's my cackle. But that is very true. So, again, you were in Chicago 97, 98 for the Utah series. And, again, Karl Malone, I'm sure you agree, doesn't deserve any championships. And so it's good that he didn't get any.
Well, I will say what's funny to me in watching The Last Dance is that, like, oh, so many things came up. One... Okay, I'll admit, this is not a big admission in the grand scheme of the world because obviously it was already true, but I'll admit it, that Michael Jordan is probably the greatest player ever. but that's hard for me to admit.
I love how you hemmed and hawed over that.
Yeah, but like, because it's hard for me to admit because I wanted it to be someone else. But here's why, because he is a dick.
Sure.
He's a dick.
Sure.
He's a dick. He made that documentary.
Yep.
And he still looks like a dick.
Yep.
You make your own documentary, and you make yourself look like a dick.
Unapologetic.
If Rodney Dangerfield.
Yep.
If Rodney Dangerfield made his own documentary, and Rodney Dangerfield isn't the Michael Jordan of comedy, but he's the example I'm going to use, he would make himself look like the greatest guy in the world.
Of course.
The sweetest, nicest guy who gave cigars to everybody. Not the guy who's always smoking a cigar and nobody else fucking has one.
Well, in a way...
Oh, my God, what a dick.
But exactly, and unapologetic. And here's the difference. Now, what Michael Jordan did brought joy to people, but not like he wasn't doing it. It brought joy to him, and that's why he did it.
Yeah.
And it just so happened he was
like
so.
It brought joy to him.
What's that?
It didn't look like it brought joy to him until it was over.
Well, yeah, that's true.
It looked like it brought joy to him for about 30 minutes at the end of the season every year, no, and that was it.
No.
I'm sorry.
His joy was on the court in those moments. Before, after, any moment he wasn't out on the court playing, clock running, he was a complete asshole as a human being. When the clock on the court was running. Say again?
Which is why,
I
think you're right. Which is why he now has the eyes of a miserable person.
Yes, because he can't get that joy.
Joy. He now has the eyes of a miserable person, and I don't just mean that he looks like a sad person. I mean the color of his eyes are not healthy.
Maybe. I mean, he.
Dude. There's no white left in his eyes. His eyes are red.
And
they're
yeah.
not healthy.
Well, he was probably drinking a good amount on those days. And the guy has smoked about five cigars a day for his whole life.
That's true, too. Look, I don't want to take anything away from the guy. I wound up walking away from this documentary with an awful lot of respect for the man in a way that I never had before. I have a quick... what I think is funny Michael Jordan story, which I think will probably maybe not be funny to people.
Do it.
I want to say ninth grade. So this would have been 1985.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So he was with the Bulls by then. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I had a friend named Scott Kerr.
Okay.
Tall, redheaded, goofy Irish kid.
Yeah.
And we were hanging out in my room, and my parents came home from dinner, and they came in the room, and they said, "Guess who we just saw at the restaurant?" And I said, "Who?" And they said, "Michael Jordan." Now, I lived in Florida.
Right.
And I went, "Oh, cool. How is he?" And they said, "He's good. He was with his mom and dad." And my friend Scott goes, "Are you kidding me? Michael Jordan?" And I said, "Oh, do you know Michael?" And he goes, "Michael Jordan! Michael Jordan!" And I said, "Yeah, you know Michael?" And he goes, "Michael Jordan, yeah, man, he's unbelievable." And I said, "Well, he's all right." And he goes, "Oh, my God, dang, how do you know Michael Jordan?" And I said, "Well, we went to St. Michael's together because I knew a kid named Michael Jordan whose dad, Bud Jordan, and mom, Margie Jordan, was a financial firm, and we went to St. Michael's together." His kid, Michael Jordan, he was like a big fan of World War II paraphernalia and so forth. We used to light...
the other Michael
M180s
Jordan.
M180s off together. The other Michael Jordan, you know? Like, that's what I knew about Michael Jordan as a kid.
Didn't they run a commercial with a guy named Michael Jordan or something for a long time?
They ran a commercial with a bunch of Michael Jordans.
Yes,
like,
right.
"My name's Michael Jordan, and I beg for clams."
Yep.
Anyway,
yep.
So that's my Michael Jordan story. So when I got to Chicago, and I was already over it, like, Jesus, all right already, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of had a disdain for the whole thing because, like, the rest of the world was like, "All right, come on."
Oh,
and
yes.
I didn't want it to be true.
Everywhere but Chicago before. Yeah, I agree. Because, again, I spent the first three-peat in New York. I remember, I remember the 94. I remember where I was for the 94 playoffs when OJ happened because that was the Knicks and Rockets.
Yeah.
And that was my senior year of college. It was after that. It was right before I moved to Chicago. So I happened to get to Chicago in time to see Jordan's worst series against Orlando and then the subsequent three-peat. But then, again, you're right, Dan, same thing. You live in Chicago during the years of Jordan, and you get a chance to watch him, and that's what you wanted to tell me about. You got to go to a bunch of games in 97-98.
Yeah. Well, because I worked at a PR firm, and the woman that was the head of finance there, I'll leave her name out of it because she's probably already done her time and she doesn't need any further problems.
Sure, and
she stole
also
money from the company.
She's probably a listener.
Well, I don't. I doubt it. But she probably did her time.
Yeah.
She did. Feds got her. But
oh,
she
they
stole
did.
A ton of money, and she gave us all tickets. I went to a Pacers playoff game.
Ooh.
Got to see them play in that finals, the 98 Eastern Conference Finals.
Oh, that was
one of those home games.
That was the toughest series.
Dude. Yes. It was unbelievable that I was at that. One of the games, one of the playoff games, I can't remember which one, because I was in a different cloud.
Yeah.
We were in a box. We were up in the suites, right?
Oh,
and
my God.
And the dessert cart came by and all that shit, right? Anyway, so she stole so much money that she bought tickets for everybody in the office and said that her uncle was a ticket distributor. And so she was able to get really cheap seats for everybody. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
So we went to a ton. So I became a Bulls fan pretty quickly and easily.
It's hard not to if you're watching those guys.
Yeah. That
especially for that era of basketball. You know, yes, the everybody was hand-checking and the defense was dominant. But that was a pretty beautiful team for that era of basketball in terms of, you know,
and look at
Pippen and Jordan, just athletes, ultimate athletes.
Yes. And you know what, man? I mean, 96, I got to Chicago in October of 95. So that 96 team was already going.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And I didn't, you know, when they were playing the Sonics, I remember thinking like, yeah, whatever. You know, come on, Sonics. That would be nice to see a small town team do this.
Sure.
But by that 97 team, when they were on that run, and I thought it was, what's his name, that actor, the guy who does Fat Tony on The Simpsons, what's his name? Joe
Mantegna.
Angelino. Yeah, Joe Mantegna doesn't know that it's 72-10.
Yeah.
Didn't know that the season was 72-10.
I know.
I thought that was kind of embarrassing. Well, that he's like, that season that they won all those games and only lost a few. It's like, you don't know that you were in Toronto for one of the 10 that they lost?
That's like Chicago sports fans a lot, though.
Oh, fuck. That drives me nuts. that drives me nuts. You don't know that you only lost 10? You don't know that the year that you won the Super Bowl was the year that you only lost one to the Dolphins? That fucking drives me nuts.
Dan,
I swear to God. Anyway.
Here's the thing. There are certain people who appreciate logic and reason and are prepared to use it to prove points. Okay? If you are prepared to use logic and reason in a defense of your argument, then you're going to learn those things. If you have no interest in logic, reason, in any kind of argument and only want emotion to rule your argument, then you don't care about shit like that. And as we can realize, most people in the world are the latter, not the former. You know,
and
we're mapping it onto sports right here, but it's like, yes, information is power that nobody really is interested in.
I just thought it was crazy that he was like, and they went on to win all those games and set history. And I thought, somebody tell Joe it was 72, and it's since been broken.
Even,
you know, like, he doesn't know.
But
like,
even Joe,
anyway.
Like, even then, Joe Mantegna was, he was probably sipping, you know, $80 scotches the whole game and not even interested.
And really only like, I'm going to hang out with those guys.
Yes.
But you're right. That, like, the history that was made from putting that kind of a team together, as cool as that that Golden State team was with
Durant.
And Curry, that's kind of the end of the list, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's the list.
Well,
you got Durant and you got Curry. But 5 years from now, Joe, let's be honest, 5 years from now, that's going to be the end of the list.
Yeah.
Whereas with that Bulls team, the end of the list is going to be Jordan, Pippen, Rodman.
Yeah.
But we know that Kukoc, Kerr,
well,
are on that list.
No, yes, we know them. You're right. But
be.
Because that team was more iconic. This Golden State Warriors team, in a way, and who knows how history will go back and look at it, but there's no personality in basketball, and certainly not Kevin Durant. Steph Curry has a certain charm to him. But again, due to And again, the guy is taller than you or I, but he looks like a midget out there. I apologize. I shouldn't use that word. But he looks like a child out there. Yeah, right.
Dwarf.
Exactly. I guess dwarf
is okay.
He looks
like John Kitna's son.
Yes.
What's his name?
You're right.
What were you talking about?
Yes, John Kitna going to Florida. We'll talk about that in a second, too, because you said something very funny about that. But Jordan's personality and then Rodman's personality and I forgot his name for a second, Phil Jackson's personality. What an idiot I am.
Yeah.
So then you have the Kerr thing on Golden State, which almost makes them look like kind of like Kobe was a great player, but he's always going to have that mimeograph of Jordan kind of thing. Now, if you want to talk about great teams, I think those Lakers-Celtics teams would rival in terms of Hall of Famers and relative to the talent in the rest of the league. You know, Worthy, Kareem, and Magic. That is three Hall of Famers. Worthy was one of the rare players who was better than Jordan on his team, although Worthy even admits it was only 2 weeks before the season started. When Jordan was a freshman, he was like, I was better than him the first couple weeks. And then that was it. Because Worthy had been playing against college competition.
What's fascinating to me about that is that, like, that's not something you can – I was going to say it's not something you can plan, and then I go, I don't know. You know, Krause the Hutt did it.
Yeah.
You know, he put that together.
Well
– I mean, that –
Yes.
That guy must have been shoved in more lockers and had more milk
money
stolen
yes.
in his life.
Absolutely.
To have come out the way he did.
Yes.
Because he just came out with a vengeance. And then I think, too, in the end, there's something about Jordan getting that iPad handed to him throughout that thing over and over again.
Yeah.
I don't think Jordan's a very good liar. He might be a good poker player, like he might be that kind of good liar.
Yeah.
But as an actor, I don't think he's a very good actor, and I don't mean like Space Jam actor.
No, I know exactly what you mean.
I mean like handing him an iPad and him acting like he's never heard this before.
Yes.
I don't think things went down the way he said they went down, and I'll bet you Reinsdorf tried like hell to go for seven, and. And I think they went, nope.
I think Phil.
You blew it.
I think Phil may have been.
I believe Phil.
And they weren't going to give Pippen his money. Like, Jordan orchestrated this whole thing.
Dude.
Oh, yes, the Pippen
that
stuff.
Was heartbreaking.
It explains the Pippen is what I said. He gets a bit of a pass on that now.
Dude, my kids, they're just finishing up school, right? But my kids go to school with Pippen's kids. I've seen Pippen walking around the school.
Uh-huh.
Pippen is it's not like I've had conversation. I'm not going to be like, oh, we're buddies.
Right.
I've never said a word to the guy. He's just a dude walking around the school. He's just a dad, you know? Terrell Davis also goes to our school.
Nice.
Not just a dude, not just a dad. Kind of a dick.
Oh, yeah.
He'll kick my ass. I hope I never see him again. He's a dick.
It's kind of funny.
Pippen is just a dude.
It's kind of funny because, that's a little bit of a difference, though. Pippen is a superstar, and really, Pippen would have been a superstar on any team during that time, if he would develop.
Yeah.
Terrell Davis, you could have put 10 different running backs in that spot, and they would have done what Terrell Davis did. Adrian Peterson would have done what Terrell Davis did. Like, Amon Green would have done what Terrell Davis did. Like, he's a one-cutback runner in a great
Amon
system.
Green, don't you? You got to put Amon Green in there, don't you?
Well, this is a good transition, actually.
Wow.
This is a good transition.
Sure, Amp Lee would have done that, you're saying?
Oh, Amp Lee. I don't know about Amp Lee. I mean, the guy who the Rams got this year is going to be good out of Florida State, Cam Akers.
Yeah, I'll bet you. Yeah.
Cam Akers, he's all right.
If he's anything like previous Florida State running back that we expect a lot out of, he'll be hurt.
That's
but
true.
But if he's like those other Florida State running backs we expect nothing out of, he'll catch a million balls and people will go, who's this guy?
Yeah.
Like Chris Thompson. Guys like that come out of nowhere.
Yes.
Anyway.
Right. It's the guy who didn't even start at Florida State.
Here's what I have to know, Joe.
Go ahead.
Come on, dude. It is weird as hell Luke Longley, the starting center.
Oh, yeah,
of
you
team,
wanted to get back to this, yes.
Please, dude, please.
Oh, yeah, no.
Doesn't say a word.
Yeah.
Doesn't say a word. Not in the locker room. Doesn't get interviewed. They never say, they hardly even say his name. What in the fuck, dude? Seriously.
It's true. He it's almost as if, and even Judd Bushler, who was a far smaller part of that team, was getting interviewed. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Longley must have done or said something to piss off.
Oh, absolutely.
Jordan.
Absolutely.
Or that tells you more about Jordan, unless it tells you a lot about Longley. If Longley said, Mike was a dick, Mike was an asshole, Mike was a prick, if he did something like that, then I can understand him going, fuck that guy, he's not going to be in my movie.
It's one or the other.
I don't know.
Well, or Longley just refused. You know, he may have just said, or Longley also could be in Australia, and they're like, I'm not flying a camera crew down to Australia.
That's right. He is Australian. Isn't
yeah,
he?
There may be that, but it is an incredible absence when you consider he was on, like, at least the last two of those teams. I believe all three of them.
Yes, and he was
the starting center. Yeah. Well, there's a story.
But I would like for us.
Go ahead.
I was going to say I would like for us to start the story that he's a terrible racist.
Well, Australians have a good racist streak in them.
You said it, Joe. You said it. You heard it here, folks. Luke Longley is a terrible racist, and that's why he doesn't appear on The Last Dance.
I didn't say that. I said all Australians are racist, Dan. Let's clarify.
You heard it here, folks.
But it is is an amazing omission. Here's a story I want to share with you, and it's going around now.
Yeah.
It was on PTI, but Parrish is another guy who didn't appear on the thing. And now Parrish was not an integral part, but he was kind of the veteran center
on
that
there.
Team. What's that?
He was on there.
Was he?
He was. I mean, he was in the first three-peat.
Yes. Yeah.
And he was on a little bit.
No, Robert Parrish was on the second three-peat for the Bulls when he
was
old. When he was old, yes. And he tells a story that when he joined the team, Jordan's yelling at him for missing a play or something, and Parrish is kind of laughing.
Yeah.
And so Jordan gets all up in his face, and Parrish goes, hey. Now, Robert Parrish, again, talk about being in a cloud. No one has been busted as many times in an airport with huge bags of weed as Robert Parrish. I know why they call him the chief now, but... And it may have been because of this, because Jordan got all up in him and he said, hey, listen, I'm not as enamored in you as all these other guys. I got my own rings. And so Jordan then said, well, I'm going to kick your ass. And I believe this, as Parrish tells the story, he took a step forward to Jordan and said, no, you're not. And that was it. He said that he never had a problem with Jordan after that. I mean,
I got to say, man, I do think. What were you going to say?
I was going to say,
because
I saw Robert Parrish yesterday on PTI. They showed a highlight of him taking down Bill Laimbeer in a playoff game. And this is the other front. And I'm just passing around PTI stories now. But Wilbon tells the story that he was at that game in a playoff game. And Laimbeer obviously was an asshole. So he said he was watching. And after that play, which was not a foul. Not a foul. He just looks at Laimbeer and goes, get up, Bill. The ref does. Just like back then, they took care of it on their own out there. Parrish didn't get a foul called on him, and he just rips him down to the ground. It was amazing. So that's
it's also
say.
Laimbeer.
Yes. Well, that was it. That's what he was saying. The ref was like, all right, this guy's.
If it was Bird.
Oh, yes.
Different if it was Bird or, you know.
Mm-hmm. Those
teams, so that wouldn't likely happen. But
I'll tell you what, the Bulls Pistons playoff matches were violent, but the Celtics Pistons, because the Celtics were having it taken away from them, you know, like so.
Yeah.
There, I think there was another level of the violence in those. All right, now did we get all your last dance takes out?
Sure. Yeah, I think you got to air your grievances against the Australians and the racism.
It's been a long time coming.
Luke Longley in particular.
It's been a long time coming. For a long time, I've...
But real quickly, yeah. Parrish did show up in The Last Dance, didn't he?
He didn't. I don't think he made
it's
any...
It's brief, but he's there.
Oh, is he?
I sure thought so. He's old.
Maybe. Who knows?
I thought...
You're breaking up on me a little bit. We'll edit this.
Ah, crap. Sorry.
There you go. No, you're good.
All right, go ahead.
Now I want to talk about, there's one other thing I wanted to talk about. Did you watch the Lance Armstrong thing, though, just quickly?
I have not seen it yet.
It's nothing that'll surprise you. He's an asshole, too. But what I want to talk about,
because
I know you're a Florida State fan, and we've talked Nebraska, Florida State many times, and this is just a story offhand we talked about before, but you made a very good point. So John Kitna's son, who's like a 3-star recruit, is signing with Florida. Now, this may also point to slow news days we're having, but that was kind of all over the news yesterday, and you made a pretty good parallel to John Kitna, his kid going to Florida, how excited we should get. What was it that you said?
Well, I said that's like DJ Jazzy Jeff announcing that his kid's going to be a recording artist. I think this is a big day for Spotify.
Right.
Like that's really exciting shit. John Kitna, wow, the Bears.
I know.
The Bears should be very excited about
start
that.
Start tracking this kid. Yeah, it's not like Peyton Manning's
kid.
That
means 12 years from now. Yeah, that's 12 years from now. They're going to have their third string quarterback right over there in Chicago.
It'll be his third team, but they're already scouting him now.
Exactly.
And then we got into a conversation about, you know, should a person, you know, DJ Jazzy Jeff beat COVID? And you were admiring him for that. And I was kind of being a little cynical and saying it's really not up to him. It's your body's doing the work there for you. But
yeah, it's true. You know, it is. Because I said I thought it was, you know, I shouldn't.
Admirable.
Because
right.
It's admirable. He beat it. But then come to think of it, he didn't do shit. He just laid there.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like I broke my leg at the beginning of this whole pandemic. I didn't do anything. I just laid there and my body did it. And that's kind of the thing. You're not a hero.
No.
Your body's doing the work.
Why don't you tell us how you broke Why don't you tell us how you broke your leg, though, Dan?
Well, I was walking a dog and I slipped in the mud and I broke my leg.
What?
No athlete eye.
Jesus, what bone did you break?
What's that one on the outside? The
thinner one?
Yeah, the thin one.
Yeah.
Thank God, because if it was the big one, I'd really be a wuss.
Oh, that's
here
like an
I
Alex Smith.
Shit about,
that's Alex Smith situation. Yeah. You break the big one.
Talking shit about Michael Jordan and I break my leg walking a dog.
Yeah, that is pretty pitiful. If you break the big one, you usually break the small one too, by the way.
Yeah, I would think so. It's kind of like when you go poop, you also go pee.
it's not like that at all, but I'm glad you just made that analogy.
Like, that's for all the ladies listening out there.
Yes, I'll tell Molly. Well, you know, we're going to have you back at some point. Maybe we'll do. We've had a fun week. We had Tim Baltz and we had Brendan Hunt on talking cycling and soccer.
Oh, man.
So maybe we could try to do one of those live things, get the week of guests together. Go ahead. What are you going to say?
You know, I gotta tell you, Joe, I was watching John Oliver, and he was talking about Yele's marble runs.
Yes.
Brother, there is sport to be had.
I've watched them.
The marble runs.
Yes.
My son and I are huge fans, and we built a bunch of cardboard ones at home. There's sport to be had, and you can do it at home, and you don't even have to have, you can't get hurt doing it unless you're not good with the scissors.
Well, I'm going to have my own set of Olympics that are going to be starting in a couple days, knock on wood, with a couple kittens who are coming here. And
you're having kittens? We're getting kittens, too. Don't tell my kids.
Okay. Well, Valerie found out because she kept walking into our Zoom conference when we were meeting them on the thing.
Oh, shit.
So she knows
Fantastic.
Now.
Congratulations.
And it's two long-haired female tabbies, which are very rare.
Oh, God.
That's what Netters was. Netters was my good cat.
All right.
I had two cats.
Yeah, I remember Netters.
Ned was good. Meep was evil. Hopefully these will not both serve, you know, I'd rather they both be good. But I can guarantee there'll be some kitten Olympics coming up soon.
I can't wait, man.
And if you want to shoot any of your footage for the Sports Dump website, we would put on any of your marble races because we are.
That's a good idea.
Send me any video. I'll throw it up on the Sports Dump, and then you can say you're published.
Will do.
Right on,
man.
Shame
on Luke Longley.
Yeah, we'll have to investigate that more. I'm glad you brought this up.
Yeah, we will.
This gives us more opportunity. Yep. Yep.
All right, buddy.
Luke Longley. Good to talk to you, Dan.
Take care, bud. Thank you.
Yes. Oh, and listen, my other podcast, I'm doing it today, Top 10 Jazz Guitarists. I'm going to put my list out on my other podcast. Do you have any Do you have any favorite jazz guitarists that you'd like to just mention?
Well, I mean, obviously, it's Joe Pass.
Yes.
I'm so pedestrian. Django and Joe Pass,
Those are two of my top. I'm wrestling in the top four. They're top four, for sure.
They both got to be top four.
Yeah, they may be top three.
I got to look at your list, man, because you can educate me.
Well, listen to it tomorrow. It's going to be the Doobie Review.
I will.
The Doobie Review Jazz Guitarist episode. All right. Good talking to you, Dan.
I love it.
All right.
Bye, buddy. Thanks,
bye.
Man.
Yep.
Bye.
And that was Dan Backetall. He introduced me to Robin Trower, the guitarist, by the way, who is very Jimi Hendrix-like, I would say. You know, nobody's Jimi Hendrix, but if you're looking for that kind of guitar, listen to that. And if you want to listen to more of this, you're already subscribing, but tell your friends about it. Rate and review us on iTunes, Spotify, whatever. And follow us on Sports Dump Show on Twitter or the_sports_dump on Instagram because I erased the original name. And we have a Patreon where we're going to have exclusive content, including episodes of the Sports Widow podcast, which is my wife's podcast that I make her do. So look for that, the Sports Dump, on Patreon. Have a good one. Bye. What an idiot I am.
Yeah.